Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into something many of you in Carmel by the Sea are definitely talking about.
That's right. The Paul and Grace Flanders estate.
Exactly. We've gone through, well, quite a bit. City documents, planning reports, some history.
And proposals for its future, yeah.
Our goal here is really to clarify the Flanders Mansion.
Yeah. What's its future?
We'll look at its past, why it's so significant for Carmel, and, you know, the efforts happening right now to bring it back to life for the community.
And that means everyone, right? Public officials, the neighbors living nearby.
Potential donors, too, absolutely. Anyone interested in seeing this place thrive again.
Okay.
So where do we start?
Way back in 1924, Grace Flanders herself apparently named it the Outlands in the 80 Acres.
Quite a name. Inside, apparently, there's this whimsical painted frieze of a pirate vessel landing in India. Quite unique.
Huh. And the building itself. What's it like?
Physically, it's described as two stories, concrete block outside, lath and plaster inside, tile roof. But the interesting part is the wall construction. It uses these cavity walls made with locally produced blocks called thermotite. They were touted as fireproof and waterproof back then. Pretty innovative for its time.
Wow. Okay.
And it's historically significant.
Absolutely. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. That's a big deal.
And the city's owned it for quite some time.
Yeah. Sources say the purchase was in 1972.
And it sits inside the Mission Trail Nature Preserve, which the city also owns.
Right. Which leads us to a really critical point. The zoning.
P2, improved parkland.
Okay, so improved parkland. What does that actually mean in this context? Because it's maybe not what people immediately think.
Right, you hear parkland and thinks open space, maybe trails.
Yeah, exactly. But the P2 zoning here, according to the city regulations, and interestingly, a draft conditional use permit we looked at.
It allows for more.
Uh-huh. It explicitly permits not just, say, a single family home, but also community uses. Even museum use. So the framework is there for something beyond just a private residence or empty land.
That's fascinating. So the zoning itself isn't the roadblock, some might assume, for like a community-focused project?
Not inherently, no. It seems the city anticipated potential community roles for it under the zoning.
Okay. But despite that potential, things seem to have, well, stopped.
That's the situation right now. Progress on figuring out the estate's future has effectively stalled.
And a key part of moving forward would be a feasibility study, right? To see what's actually possible, what it would cost.
Absolutely essential. But that study, it hasn't even started.
It hasn't begun. And there was some money potentially on the table for that.
Well, yeah. We saw information referencing a February 27th blog update that indicates the city declined a $60,000 pledge offer.
Declined $60,000 specifically related to the property.
Correct. So you have the potential uses allowed by zoning, a clear need for a study, and then a declined offer and a standstill. It's puzzling.
It really is. So who's trying to push things forward? There's an organization involved, right? Carmel Outlands. And you've got some known figures involved, like former council member Juard Rose, former mayor Ken White on the board.
That adds some weight, having experienced local leaders involved.
What's also interesting is their structure.
How so?
The board of directors themselves, they're acting as the curator.
So not hiring an executive director specifically for that role?
Not as the curator, no. It suggests a really hands-on approach from the board, deeply invested.
The resident curatorship. How exactly does that model work?
Well, the basic idea is that an individual, or in this case, a group like Carmel Outlands, would invest their own funds and, you know, expertise into restoring and then maintaining the mansion.
Okay.
And in return for that significant investment, they'd get the right to live there or operate from there. It's kind of like having a dedicated steward on site who's personally invested in the property's upkeep.
Has the city tried this before?
They've definitely explored it. They even put out an RFP, a request for proposals for a curator in the past.
Didn't quite pan out then, I guess.
Apparently not. Let's start with the group really pushing the current effort, Carmel Outlands. The master plan talks about writing a, quote, new chapter for the mansion.
A new chapter? Sounds nice.
Yeah, and establishing the Carmel Outlands as a sort of lasting legacy for the community.
Okay, but what was the actual problem they were trying to solve? Why this new chapter?
It seems the core issue was the mansion itself. It needed a way to operate sustainably.
Sustainably meaning financially?
Financially viable, yes, but also offering cultural value and fitting in with the residential neighborhood around it. That's key.
So Carmel Outlands is a nonprofit. They formed specifically to provide public access to the Flanders mansion and its surroundings.
But in a careful way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In harmony with the residential neighborhood, as their bylaws state.
Yeah.
It's about opening it up, but being mindful, turning it from, you know, just sitting there into an active part of the community again.
A place to experience history, not just look at it.
That's the idea.
And it seems like their vision in the master plan is pretty ambitious, more than just tours and things.
Oh, much more. They see it as a potential cornerstone for cultural and educational stuff in Carmel.
Okay.
The plan isn't just about preserving the building and grounds, but really using them to sort of enrich the community, making the history relevant now. There's even talk of a possible Carmel History Center located right inside the mansion.
Oh, interesting. Like a community center or...
Sort of a hybrid, it seems.
Yeah.
Potentially part events venue, part museum space.
Yeah.
But they're careful about the word events.
Ah, yes. They use programming instead. Why that distinction?
It seems very intentional. Likely to address neighborhood concerns about, you know, noise, traffic, large crowds.
Okay, so programming implies something maybe smaller scale, more focused.
Exactly. They talk about things like workshops, art, education, small meetings, limited attendance in person.
And partnerships seem key to their plan.
Definitely. They highlight the Friends of Mission Trail Nature Preserve as a key partner.
Which is logical, given the location right inside the preserve.
Absolutely. And another really crucial one is Lewis Builders.
The general contractor?
Yes, a well-known local firm. They're lined up as the key general contractor partner, specifically for that feasibility study.
The one that hasn't started yet.
The very one. And Lewis Builders are apparently donating a significant chunk of the study's cost, in-kind services.
That's a serious commitment from a local business. Shows real support.
It does. It suggests there's a desire in parts of the community to see something positive happen there.
Okay, so let's circle back to this proposed feasibility study itself. What would it actually involve? What are they trying to find out?
Well, the main point, according to their outline and sponsorship agreement, is to nail down the exact costs and the full scope of work for restoring the mansion.
So getting concrete numbers and a real plan.
Exactly. It would cover quite a bit, a structural assessment, you know, what needs fixing,
mm-hmm.
a historical preservation evaluation, how to do the work properly, adhering to standards.
Like those Secretary of the Interior standards?
Precisely. Those are the federal guidelines for treating historic properties. Very important for maintaining integrity.
Okay, what else?
Code compliance, accessibility, making sure it meets modern requirements, developing a preliminary restoration plan.
And the money side? Does it look at whether their whole idea is viable long-term?
Yes, that's critical. An operational and financial feasibility analysis is part of it. Can their proposed model actually sustain itself?
That seems thorough. And the results of the study, structural assessments, 3D scans, budget estimates, a phased schedule, all that would belong to the city.
So the city gets the detailed plan. Makes sense. Are they raising money for this now?
Yes, they're in what they call a quiet fundraising phase. Basically, seeking initial pledges from key supporters before going public with a bigger campaign. Apparently, the tours they did, chaperoned by city staff, generated quite a bit of positive interest from potential donors.
Seeing the place itself makes a difference.
Always does.
Okay, ambitious plans. But a 1924 building, it must need serious work. What's the story with restoration?
Oh, absolutely. Restoration is huge. The city requires critical systems, electrical, plumbing, mechanical to be brought up to current code. That's non-negotiable.
And expensive, I bet.
Very likely.
Restoration is one thing, but ongoing maintenance, operations, that needs a solid financial plan.
Although you said Carmel Outlands has proposed a budget allocation for after restoration.
They have, yes.
Yep.
But proving its viability is part of what the feasibility study would assess.
But, you know, whenever you talk about opening up a historic place for more public use.
Parking. You got to talk about parking.
Always. So what's there now? A two-car garage and that circular driveway fits maybe 7 cars?
And that driveway is also used by people going to the Mission Trail Nature Preserve next door.
Correct. It serves a dual purpose already. So adding events needs a plan.
What's the plan then?
Well, a key part is proposing collaboration with the city. And they're looking at how similar places handle it. The master plan actually mentions learning from other historic properties.
So finding creative solutions that have worked elsewhere in similar settings.
Trying to ensure events can happen without overwhelming the neighborhood, that's crucial.
Absolutely. Okay, thinking back though, you mentioned the legal challenges earlier.
Yeah.
could those resurface? What's the potential for more legal hurdles?
It's definitely something to be aware of, given the history. Remember, the Flanders Foundation successfully challenged that 2009 EIR for the sale.
Right.
So any new attempt to sell it, or even significantly change the use of what's designated parkland, it could face scrutiny.
Especially since leasing came up as a better option before.
A 2012 final EIR actually concluded that leasing it either as a home or for public quasi-public use was environmentally superior to selling it.
So there's literally a document saying leasing is preferable, environmentally speaking.
That precedent exists, yes. It suggests the city would need strong justification to go back down the sale route.
Which really points to the challenge, finding a sustainable use for a property like this.
Empty. And that brings us to the challenges today. It sounds like figuring out the mansion's future has been, well, a long haul.
That's putting it mildly. One source calls it a problematic property for over 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he even compares it to Sisyphus pushing the boulder uphill. There's a sense of, you know, cycle after cycle of discussion and difficulty.
The core insight being how tricky it is to balance using a historic place for the public while respecting the neighborhood and the nature preserve next door.
Exactly that balance.
So the city has been weighing different paths for this property for some time.
It seems so. It's clearly a unique asset, and figuring out the best use hasn't been straightforward. That history really shapes the current situation.
Which makes the Carmel Outlands proposal seem quite different, this public-private partnership idea.
It is a different model. The city keeps ownership, ultimate control, is still public land.
Mm-hmm.
But the nonprofit, Carmel Outlands, takes on the job of fixing it up, running it, programming it.
What about the Friends of Mission Trail Nature Preserve? They must have a strong interest.
A very strong interest. Their whole focus is protecting that preserve adjacent to the mansion. So naturally, they're concerned about anything that could impact it. Parking overflow, foot traffic, fencing, development near the boundaries.
Potential friction there, or potential partnership.
Could be either or both. The document suggests some recognition that a well-managed Flanders could actually complement the preserve if it's done right. But their primary concern is the preserve's health.
Understandable. And then there's the wider community, the neighbors.
Crucial players.
Mm-hmm.
And likely with varied views. Some might be excited about restoring the landmark, having a new community venue. Others, understandably, worried about traffic, noise, access to the preserve changing the neighborhood character.
So, looking ahead, where does this leave things?
Well, as we said, fundamentally, progress is stalled right now.
Waiting on what? The feasibility study to start. City action.
Essentially, yes. The next steps really depend on further action and approvals, likely involving the city council.
But if that feasibility study happens, and if it shows the Carmel Outlands plan is workable,
and if the city grants the necessary lease and permits,
then there's a clear potential for public benefit, turning an underused historic site into something active.
Absolutely. It represents a chance to create a cultural and educational resource, leveraging the site's history and location.
Carmel Outlands has a clear vision, but they've got challenges, costs, parking, neighborhood concerns, bringing everyone along.
While acknowledging past discussions, the core message seems to be a shared desire to see Flanders restored properly, used responsibly for the good of the whole community.
That common ground really does seem to be there. The commitment Carmel Outlands is expressing towards open communication, addressing concerns like parking through dialogue, it suggests a real intent to partner. It reads like an olive branch, an invitation to work together.
It really highlights how focusing on those shared goals could potentially bridge different viewpoints, doesn't it? You know, achieving something really positive for local heritage, for our community spaces.
It certainly presents that opportunity.
That sums it up well. And, you know, it's interesting. Carmel actually has a track record of figuring out these kinds of complex civic building issues.
Oh, like what?
Well, think about the fire department facilities, City Hall itself, the Sunset Center. Those were all big undertakings, right?
Yeah.
But the community found ways to make them happen, to create really valuable public assets.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it quite like that. So the Flanders Mansion, could it be the next success story in that line?
It certainly could be.
Yeah.
But looking at all the players, all the different interests, it feels like a really key piece, maybe the key piece, will be getting groups like the Friends of Mission Trail Nature Preserve and Carmel Outlands to, you know, find common ground.
To work together, align their visions.
Exactly. If they can collaborate, figure out a path forward that respects both the mansion and the preserve. That seems like the most promising route.
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be nice if both groups united around a shared plan, ensuring the preservation of both the Flanders Mansion and the surrounding Mission Trail Nature Preserve for the lasting benefit of the entire community?
It really would.
It definitely leaves you thinking about the power of community collaboration when it comes to protecting these kinds of special places.
Right. So for you listening, if you're a public official, this looks like a chance to revitalize a landmark for public good without direct city funding for the operations.
If you're a neighbor, the promise is a managed cultural hub with thought put into minimizing impact, especially parking.
And if you're thinking about donating,
it's an opportunity to contribute to something really lasting in Carmel, preserving history, yeah, enabling future community enrichment.
A tangible legacy. So if people want to follow along, stay updated.
The best way is probably to sign up for the Outlands Journal newsletter.
Okay, we can put a link to that in our show notes.
Perfect.
So people can easily find it. And remember, the source documents we used have even more detailed financials, specific people involved, deeper history. If this sparked your interest, there's definitely more to uncover. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.